The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, star performance.
Well, how do you like it?
I like it.
I thought you might. Fancy enough for you?
Enough. Hey, it's quite a shindig in there.
Going away party for Mr. Colby. Sorry I can't ask you in.
I'll ask myself in at the proper time.
You think you have it all straight, Mitch?
Yeah, I think.
Perhaps you better go over it just once more while the place is all lighted.
I said I got it, Paula.
So you did. Very well. I just wouldn't care to have the unexpected spoiler, shall I say, sweet situation.
Nothing's going to spoil nothing. Got it down ice cold. Park at the gate back there, walk up the driveway, open the delivery with the key you gave me. Go in through the kitchen, through the dining, to the big stairs. Take care of anybody there.
No one will be there, Mitch. All the servants will be out except me.
Okay, honey, so I'll take care of you.
Mitch, I thought I'd made myself clear. This arrangement between us
strictly
is...
business, I know.
Well, I hope you know.
Up the big stairs, down the right wing, third door on the left. I don't bother to knock.
Well, I guess you got it all right.
Ice cold. What time do I pull the routine?
Well, now, let's see. He's invited for 7:30. Mrs. Colby should be dressing at least the full hour before that.
You really figure this for over 50 G's?
Well over. She's taking her Star Sapphire out of the vault.
Star Sapphire, huh?
And her black pearls and the ruby pendant.
Okay,
and...
over 50. Paula.
Yes?
You're taking an awful chance, aren't you? If the Colby doll ever found out it was her own personal secretary dreamed up this caper.
How could she find out?
I don't know. The police?
How could the police find out?
What?
Oh, Mitch, you're so naive. The jewels Mrs. Colby will be wearing tomorrow night were not given to her by hubby. Fond as she is of them, I scarcely think she'd want their loss aired.
In English, that means...
the theft won't be reported to the police.
A fool.
Nice, hmm?
Very. One thing you learn out on parole, what the cops don't know won't hurt them. Hey, Paula.
Yes?
You ever been an actress?
I've been everything, Mitch.
Okay. When I throw open that dressing room door, let's see you act real surprised.
Don't worry. When you come in that door and say, this is a stick-up, I can guarantee I'll give a star performance.
In the files of your FBI, we have the following facts on Paula Duquesne, one of the most elusive criminals on record. Paula was born in San Francisco and at 14 signed with a nightclub package as a dancer, drifting to Hollywood, where she made an unsuccessful attempt to get into pictures. While in Hollywood, she earned her living as a professional dancing escort, specializing in rich and amorous men. This specialty included blackmail and earned Paula a term in California State Prison where she was taught secretarial work. Unreleased, she lied her way into one lucrative job after another and met Mitchell Braille, himself recently out of jail on parole. Mitch and Paula teamed up in a robbery scheme that ideally suited each of their peculiar talents.
Mrs. Colby! Mrs. Colby?
Yes, Paula?
Tub's ready for you. Nice and hot. And I poured in the Cuban salt that Mr. Colby just can't stand.
Ah, oh, thank you, dear. You're an angel.
I'm a devil. But I figured long as Mr. Denham likes Cuban bath salts... Oh, my, they're beautiful.
They are, aren't they? I just thought I'd try them on.
Absolutely beautiful. I always thought white pearls were stunning, but those...
I felt the same when Mr. Denham gave them to me. It's such a shame keeping them in the vault all year long.
Yes, but I don't imagine Mr. Colby would appreciate them as much as we do.
I don't imagine he would. Oh, Paul, I'm awful, aren't I?
What?
Seeing Mr. Denham the moment my husband leaves town.
Oh, I don't know. I think Mr. Denham's most charming.
I'm serious.
So am I. No one has the right to judge someone else's morals, Mrs. Colby. What you do is your business. And you're not awful. You're the nicest employer anyone ever had.
You are an angel. Really, Paula, I don't know what I'd ever do without you. What time is it, anyway?
Time for your bath. Nice and lukewarm now.
All right, I'm going. Why don't you run along and finish up those letters in the morning?
Well, I thought I'd wait until Mr. Denham arrives.
Oh, well, maybe you better.
I can fix him a drink until you come down.
Thank you, Paula. That's good of you. Lukewarm? This water's scalding.
It's good for your complexion.
If it doesn't skin me alive.
All right, I'll come in and...
You'll come in and what? Paula, you'll come in and what?
Go on, answer.
I can't. I'm too frightened.
Paula!
You come in and find out, lady.
What?
Mrs. Colby, I...
What's that? I thought I heard a man...
You heard right, lady. Now stand over there next to her and don't make a move or open up your face. This is a stick-up.
Back to star performance in just a moment.
What does the code of conduct mean to the American military man or woman? To Captain Maud Davison, chief of the Army Nurse Corps in the Philippines during World War II, it meant duty beyond personal safety. When Bataan was attacked, Captain Davison was given the chance to escape, but she chose to stay with her nurses and was later imprisoned with them at Santo Tomas. She remained a prisoner for 3 years, and during all that time she fought a never-ending battle for medical supplies and proper treatment for the American prisoners of war. It was because of her help that her fellow prisoners gave her the title of Angel of Bataan. That's what the code meant to Captain Maud Davison. Duty beyond personal safety.
Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in peace and war. Star performance.
Hiya, Bert.
Hiya, Goldie. What'll it be, beer?
Nothing yet. Say, Bert, I got a message. Mitch wants to see me. Is he here?
Over there in a booth. Last one on the right.
Okay. Send over 2 specials, huh? This is a celebration. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Goldie. What blew you in?
Huh? Mitch, I got a message.
Okay, I know. I was just kidding. Come on, sit down. You glad to see me?
I'm always glad to see you, Mitch. You know that.
Sure I do. All the girls are glad. Guess I'm a pretty handsome fella.
I think so. Why do you want to see me, Mitch?
It's got to be a why.
Well?
Fella likes a girl. It's wrong he wants to see her.
No, of course not.
It's wrong he has a prize for her. Something she can wear.
What?
Hold out your hand, honey.
Oh, don't, Mitch. I don't like playing games.
Come on, hold out your hand.
If this is one of those electric shock gimmicks.
There you are, Goldie. That looks like an electric shock gimmick.
Mitch.
Nice, huh?
Nice. It's the prettiest bracelet I ever saw.
Rubies, diamonds, not one stone under 3 carats. And all for you.
For me? I can't believe it, Mitch. What happened?
Remember that deal I was working on with Paula Duquesne?
You didn't...
Sure, half hour ago. It was simple as taking candy from a bunch of kids.
The bracelet?
What do you think? I bought it out of that small change they hand me at the filling station? Sure, the bracelet. Also these pearls, and these earrings, this necklace, and this, and these, and these. Yeah, these.
Oh, Mitch.
What's the matter? Not enough?
I really thought you meant the bracelet for me.
I do mean it for you. Bracelet, necklace, the works. Every item here for you. To get rid of through Herbie.
Mitch.
You can get rid of her for me, can't you?
She's no good to you, Mitch. Paula's not your kind.
I didn't ask your advice. Just tell me. Can you get rid of this stuff?
She won't give you a tumble, I know. She'll only use you until...
I said I didn't ask you.
Okay. I can get rid of the stuff, Mitch. I always have, haven't I?
Okay. Now, none of it's hot. Herbie should give you a good price.
Mitch.
Yeah?
You were careful. No one recognized you.
No one to recognize.
Oh, I'd hate to see you get sent back, Mitch. That parole...
Those do-gooders. I soft soap them once a week with how much I like selling gas, and they practically kiss me. Come on, give me that old smile, Goldie. I'm dealing this one from the bottom of the deck. How can I lose?
Mitchell Braille.
Here.
The parole officer's ready for you now. That door right there.
All right, Mitch. I guess that's all for today.
That's all, sir?
That's all. Come on, I'll walk you to the door. You know, I'm pleased the way you're making out there at the filling station. Your boss tells us you could handle the whole place yourself.
Well, I try hard, sir. I like going straight. I like the way you've treated me. I wouldn't want to let you down. Well...
Goodbye, Mitch. See you this time next week.
Oh, I'll be here. Bye, Mr. Williams.
All right, gentlemen.
Sorry, we couldn't hear too much over the squawk box.
I know. I've been meaning to have that thing fixed. Sit down, won't you?
Thanks.
Well, I confess I'm licked on Mitch Braille.
Bad as all that?
I'm afraid so. Maybe I shouldn't have bothered you people with this thing.
Well, in a way, Mitch Braille is our business as well as yours, Mr. Williams.
I'm worried about him. I really wish he'd go straight.
You think he isn't?
Well, it's hard to say. That's why I asked you, Lee. Well, I'd like your opinion after you hear the facts.
Go ahead.
Now, let's see. About a week ago, a paid informer for the police department reported that Mitch was spending money very freely, apparently on some woman. The informer claims that Mitch paid cash for an expensive fur coat.
He makes $60 a week at the filling station, right?
$65. Now, of course, we've been watching him carefully, but nothing more has turned up. He works steadily at the filling station and spends very little on himself.
I see.
Gentlemen, what about that money from that bank? Could he have hidden any of that away and be spending it now?
Well, it's possible, but almost all of the stolen money was recovered.
Well, the police tells me that this informer is quite reliable. Mitch is getting money someplace. And I thought you people ought to know.
We certainly should. Mitch Braille and big money add up to trouble. If he's back at his old trade.
Oh, I hope not. I really do. It's hard to believe that any man can lie to your face like that. He really convinced me that he wants to go straight.
It's hard to tell with a man like Braille. He may mean it, he may not.
Well, what would you do, Mr. Stevens?
Well, first, I'd like to check with the Bureau and see if we can get approval.
And if you do?
Well, if we do, Mr. Williams, maybe we'll find out whether or not Mitch really wants to go straight and just where he's getting all that money.
Okay, miss, I'll take this perfume here. Wrap up the biggest bottle you got.
Memorandum of Stevens. Followed subject to Mason's department store. Check with sales girl. Subject bought cosmetics and perfume valued at over $500.
That you, Paula?
Mitch, how many times do I have to tell you? Don't call me here.
Well, I just wanted to see that the perfume arrived.
It arrived. Thanks for small favors.
Small? You know what that junk cost me?
Mitch, I can't talk to you.
Wait a minute. How about seeing me tonight?
You know the answer to that.
But, Paula...
I'm hanging up, Mitch. I can't talk to you now.
Oh, listen. Paula!
What's the matter?
Nothing.
You look ready to burst wide open. Better sit down.
She hung up on me.
She?
Paula.
Oh. Mitch.
How do you like that? Hung up on me.
I don't like it. Mitch, why keep on asking for it? Forget it.
I can't.
She's not your kind. I told you.
I know you told me. So I'm telling you, she's anybody's kind. As long as they got the right price tag.
Oh, you're crazy, Mitch. You spent all your money.
Well, I get more, a lot more. I'm going to get that, Paula. You see if I don't.
Where'll you get more money, Mitch?
You can't figure where?
No.
Well, I can. Five letters. It's spelled Colby. That's where.
What?
I only snatched the stuff her boyfriend gave her. The dollar's jewel heavy, believe me. Don't give me no stories.
But Paula never agreed to anything crazy
like
that.
Who's talking what Paula would agree? All I got to do is find out when the Colby doll is dressing up for extracurricular. I already have the layout and the key.
Mitch.
I'll show Miss High and Mighty who she's dusting off. I'll show her.
Please, Mitch, don't. I won't let you throw yourself away on her.
Let go of me, Goldie.
I won't, Mitch. I won't let you.
I said let go.
Mitch, don't do it.
I'll show her, Goldie. You see if I don't. Star performance, huh? She hasn't seen anything yet. I guarantee it.
Back to star performance in just a moment.
Friends, this is Jimmy Wallington. You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was born in 1767 and began his military career at the age of 13. His distinguished victories included campaigns against the Creek and Seminole tribes during the Indian Wars and the Battle of New Orleans against the British in 1815. In his political life, this man served as United States Senator and as Governor of the Florida Territory. In his first campaign for the presidency, he was unsuccessful. But in 1828, he won the election and served for two terms. Well, you should have his name by now, but in case you don't, here's one important clue. He brought new attention to national politics during the first year of his administration by discharging nearly 700 office holders, as against only 74 removals by all the preceding presidents. Yes, he was Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War. Star performance.
Paula, dear?
Yes, Mrs. Colby.
Will you fasten this for me, darling?
Of course.
Not as unusual as black pearls, but diamonds are still diamonds. How do they look, hmm?
They look just fine.
What?
I'll take them off and hand over the rest of the stuff.
Like I said before, this is a stick-up. Yeah, lady?
What'll it be?
Nothing just yet, Bert. I think the lady's come to see me. Well, Paula, I've been sort of expecting you.
Expecting me? You stupid moron.
Hey, easy on the language, honey. This is a high-class establishment. We could get tossed out. Come on over here to the booth. We can be nice and alone. So you decided to see me after all, huh, Paula?
Mitch, so help
me. Take it easy. Blood pressure. You know, I figured you'd come around to my way of thinking sooner or later. I like them to play hard to get. I figured...
Never mind what you figured. What was the idea of that idiotic stunt tonight?
Want a drink, Paula? Right?
I asked
you.
Yeah,
I heard. I just finished up this beer.
You'll finish up nothing.
That wasn't very nice, honey. I told you this is a high-class establishment.
What was the idea of that, Mitch?
Well, I'll tell you. I needed some quick cash. I got a hard-to-get girl likes real expensive things. I think that was a good way of getting it, don't you?
I think you've got exactly 30 seconds to hand over every single thing you took.
You what you cut, huh? That's more like my old Paula.
I don't want any cut, Mitch.
What?
You heard me. I want every single thing. And if you won't hand them over, I'll...
You, beat it out of me?
If you won't, I'll hand you over to the police.
Huh? You're really something, you know that? I bet you do it at that.
Just try me.
Maybe I will.
You've got 30 seconds. Hand the stuff over, or I hand you over. Which will it be?
Well, I'll tell you, honey.
Oh, Mitch.
Yeah, Bert?
Called for you in the booth.
For me? Thanks. Can you wait the 30 seconds while I take the call?
Just don't try to be smart, Mitch. That's all.
You don't have to. Brains come by me natural. Pour yourself a drink on me. Mitch Breo speaking.
Mitch. Mitch, this is me, Goldie.
I'm busy, Goldie.
Mitch, listen. I'm sorry. I did it. I just out of my head.
What? What are you talking about?
I couldn't take it any longer. You making a fool of yourself over her. I figured I'd rather see you back in the pen.
Back in the pen? What are you talking about? What did you do?
I was out of my head, Mitch. I'm sorry.
Goldie, what did you do?
I told the cops about the Colby job.
You did what?
I told them all about the job, all about you and Paul. I said they'd find you at Bird's place with the stuff. They're waiting outside in their car for you to come out. Mitch. Mitch, can you forever forgive me, Mitch? Can you?
Well, Mitch?
Huh?
Which it'll be? Do I get the jewels or do you get the police?
One or the other, huh?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, Paula, you win. You get the jewels.
What?
Here they are, all in this handkerchief. You have me coming and going. Guy out on parole hasn't much chance. Go on, put them in your purse.
Well, you're smarter than I gave you credit for, Mitch.
Didn't give me much choice. Come on, I'll walk you back to the bar.
You'll walk me nowhere. I don't want to see or ever hear from you again. As far as I'm concerned, we never met.
Have it your way. We never met.
Well, just remember it, that's all.
Don't worry. Bert, let's have a double, huh?
Sure thing.
Going somewhere, lady?
Better pour one for her, too. I got an idea she'll be back.
Yeah?
Practically guarantee it.
Okay, you're buying.
Let go of me. Let go.
Take it easy, baby.
Let me get my hands on him. That's all, so help me, I'll kill him.
Take it easy.
You louse, Mitch. You knew they were outside. You knew it.
We'll do the talking, thanks. Mister, this lady says she got these jewels from you. She says you stole them. She was only returning them. That right?
Jewels stolen? She got them from me?
That's what she says.
Must be Bughouse, pal. Never saw this woman before in my life.
You dirty, stinking liar. Tell them the truth. Tell them. Go on, tell them.
Oh, I'm sorry, lady. I'd like to help you, but the truth is, we've never met. I never saw you before in my life.
In spite of all protest to the contrary, Mitchell Breo was linked to the Colby robberies through the positive identification of Mrs. Colby herself. He and Paula Duquesne were indicted, brought to trial, and convicted. Breo adding 6 more years to his previous term, and Paula Duquesne going to women's prison, where she'll have 4 long years to regret her star performance.
In tonight's story, Kathleen Cordell played the part of Paula Duquesne. Ken Lynch was Mitchell Breo. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Manderville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.